that could be like, hey, don't forget.
And also acknowledging that every person needs something different. So that's why we offer to give money rather than organising childcare for the whole time. So sometimes, I know it feels like you have to self-advocate, but sometimes you just need to tell us what you want. And then it's like, yeah, cool, great. Or if you have a solution like, oh, there's an event, hey, can you have like, $100 to pay my friend to come and roll and do it, and I think the chamber or any other organ will go like, yeah, great, thank you so much for sorting that out, we've got the money we can provide to do it. So it's just finding those relationships and ways of advocating, because I think sometimes the money's there, it's just not being used.
So maybe what we could do as a practical element is create a database.
That would be
and
great.
With a contact person to speak to. It is quite hard, especially if you're not feeling very confident to be like, hey, Chamber of Culture and Arts. You know what I mean? Like, so if there's an actual person who would understand that that's...
But can I just ask on a practical level, who would do that? Create a database?
I could certainly create a kind of spreadsheet of something and just have it as something that can be like a dynamic movement thing, like what you're doing with our contact details. And just be like, okay, I've heard of this. I didn't know that about performing lines, but then my kids are older, so I'm not looking for it. But what about, you know, if I want to go to the Chamber of Culture and Arts, who would I discuss if I wanted to come for an hour with my kids? Like, who's the person? So that you're not just kind of info at, and then you don't know what you're getting, and then you feel bad, and then you feel like you've asked the question, someone's
ignoring you. And actually just finding the time to do that, that's the other thing. Because I think your point about labour is really important, that within parenting and caregiving, there's a lot of invisible labour that doesn't come up. There's huge amounts of logistics, organising care for the people that you've got to give it to. And so anything to reduce that is so helpful. And I think the other thing is that cultural attitudes are shifting slowly. And that's why this conversation is so important, because we need time to consolidate. Where is it changing? Who is changing? Who's not changing? How can we help them change and keep it moving in that way? It's not like a blanket thing where now everyone's family friendly and child friendly and aware of barriers. It's not, that's not happened. I think sometimes we have to be careful not to go, it's all great now. Because when you start actually talking to people in car parks and libraries and daycare centres and schools, my experience is that you actually hear the stories that they won't tell in these spaces. So it's really important to make sure that we keep the conversation going and understand that, yes, it's about how can we reduce that labour of logistics and participating, also how can we make sure that we keep sharing that cultural attitudes are shifting, whether it's that the organisation makes it more aware, like in the ad for this event, I think it was through me bringing it to the attention around the fact that it didn't say you could bring your children. And I had about 10 private messages from the artists from that community saying, Michelle, this is thing, I think it's for us, but can we bring kids? And that's not their fault that they're asking that. They're asking that because that's their experience has been that usually you can't. So I think we have got an obligation to make sure that we use language and word things in a way that makes people know that they're welcome. Because really, for lots of people, the overwhelming experience has been, I'm just not sure. So I think that's where we are at the moment.
That's a very valid point.
There is
numerous people trying to
do it. So, there's a bunch of stuff summing up for me. And I think that feeling like safe and trusting, and I think there's just like a one thing I've been learning about is like cultural safety. And when we have these systems, like my adult ADHD brain, like if something's in a contract, like I probably haven't read it or remembered it. And I think there's systems that do work, and we've got like a momentum with them. But I think a bit like what Michelle was saying, like before work starts with a project, just a chat to sit down to go, hey, so how do you work? Like how do you operate chat? And you can, the person that knows of the childcare options or things like that can kind of work through the imposter syndrome or the self-doubt or whatever's going on there to go, use it, this is available. You don't have to say yes now. But I think it's that kind of thing of the kind of like advocacy, what you were talking about with this. And we've all seen it with like dietary requirements, it's become standard on any like booking, access requirements become more standard. And I think like wheelchair, physical access, things can become a box, but I think like maybe parental needs is a kind of access thing too. that if it's something like prompting or something, you have to address that question. It might begin the process for someone to go, oh yeah, yeah, I do have extra needs here or whatever. Yeah, and I think there's good intention there. It's just that sometimes, yeah, everyone in the room, the systems that'll work for them, like it's just only a couple of things.
I had an experience where a company, I was breastfeeding, I didn't actually want to be working full time. I still don't, really, actually. But they said they would offer childcare, you can have someone in the room, all of this stuff, which made it really awkward for me to go, I really actually don't want to do it. And then that was a bit scary too, so kind of being a bit gentle about that, like, you know, the kind of awareness that maybe they could have need some help is nice, but not going, we're doing this for you, so therefore you have to do this, is really problematic.
Larissa, sorry.
Yeah. There's Ariel that's been pointing for a while, sorry.
And then Larissa.
I just wanted to say that as a person who's here who is not a parent, there's a lot of things that, like, I'm just not, like, aware of what people need or, like, you know, the differences in what people need as well. And I just wanted to, like, I guess gauge, like, how open people are to having those conversations about what you need on, like, the individual circumstances and like when you come to work for a certain company, like if that's something that needs to be prompted by the organisation or like people have to kind of have those, like how comfortable do people feel having those conversations or do they need to kind of be told that conversation?
I think you need to know that it's safe.
It's a declaration,
I think if you were asked, you'd be like, that would be really amazing. If someone ever said to me, as a parent, what do you need? I'd be like, I don't actually know right now.
Because you get asked a lot when you're pregnant.
It stops.
From wanting to learn how to be a carer perspective, something just from like years of like babysitting and all sorts is I sort of sense, a mother will be just so grateful that I'm there because they haven't like showered for 5 days or something like that. Like just so grateful that it's almost like just you being here is enough. As if they don't it's not their right to also say, at the moment I'm trying to like use this language with my child or like there's this without you judging them, without you and me hearing.
Oh, can I just say that the mother is probably, she hasn't had a shower for 5 days, she won't even be thinking about that.
She'll probably be screaming at her kids.
Yes, that's
the sense of gratitude is really interesting.
Accessibility needs with children. Learning things, language things, like that, none of that is shameful or a burden for the person that's going to be caring for them. And that's something that can be advocated amongst people in life who are wanting to.
Larissa, my love.
Yeah. I'm now trying to catch the thread that was there. But
you've got it? Sorry.
I guess just coming back to needs and feeling okay, and it's probably gone, but I did want to come back to what Alex was saying, that when I became aware of the money towards childcare from Flock, I was grateful that was offered. And I did email through to say yes, but then the logistics, realising it was money towards getting someone to come into the home to look after three children, the amount of effort that would have taken for me to track down a babysitting service, interview, screen, I couldn't do it at the end of the day, and also I think I was still breastfeeding and hormonal, but I am grateful that is there, and if it is still there, I'm not sure.
Flock's dissolved.
Okay, but I was very grateful. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say on Ariel's point, I think that it takes a village. It's not existing right now. It's your responsibility because you decide to have it. So everything gets solved outside of me as a professional. So I've never, for me, I've never asked. I've turned things down because I couldn't get childcare. It's just not myself as a mother is compartmentalised to myself as a mother.
If someone says to you, hey, what do you need as a parent?
Yes, I would be engaged in that conversation, but I would bring it up myself.
Right.
But that's where like the corporate world is a lot further on than the arts world. the corporate world already has like protocols where that is a conversation that will take place. I've got friends that work for HIF and things like that, and the support they get goes their way. They're mostly full-time, but some of them are part-time workers. But those conversations are part of entering into the contract. And I think that would be great to make that the norm in the arts and culture as well, and I don't think that's always the case. I think people are extremely generous in the arts and culture, and I think people are always wanting to help and support. But I think there's a lot of assumptions, and that's where it's tricky as a parent, because you've got to know, you've got to navigate the assumptions, and you can get it wrong. To work because I couldn't get childcare. I was teaching for a young people's theatre in Perth. I had to pay $300 for spare parts. Always let me bring my kids to school workshops that I teach, and I've also added to their KPI to add primary parent and infant to their diversity listing for employment. So there's strategies like that that can be implemented in the world that we could adopt.
I'm still, I think that it's fantastic. I think it's mandatory, I thought, for arts orgs and companies to offer employees childcare subsidies or some payment to cover childcare. I was under the impression that that is an Australia Council directive. But one thing that I keep thinking about is how much do parents want, and everyone's going to want something different. So once you start putting these customised kind of needs into the mix around a rehearsal period, you could end up having an hour a day that you rehearse, you know, or we have everyone in one scene and one mum needs to breastfeed then and another needs to breastfeed then, and it's just, it's so tricky to navigate all that. So I guess how much...
unpredictability of parenthood, I think, that you can't cater for.
Yeah.
Which all workplaces have to deal with. That's not unique to the arts.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is that in a rehearsal room, I'm still grappling with how you can manage so many requirements in a time-critical situation. And that's a bigger issue around the systemic nature of our sector and the funding and... how we structure our, and so it could be a structural issue. You could just have a year of working for 1 hour a day and create a work that way. That would be an interesting experiment for your group. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think that's a good experiment.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, isn't it always about a conversation, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, tailoring, talk with the person that you're going to work with and see how you can compromise. Because I don't think it's all about organisations, that's for sure. It's got to be a two-way process, and I think that's where words are really useful.
Mm.
No?
I think the idea of doing 1 hour a week for me, parenting, ranging to 25 and almost 20.
Oh, gosh.
So I work slowly. I've got lots of labour.
Integrated into programming at arts organisations, so that perhaps there are ring-fenced spaces where people who perhaps don't have money, or maybe they've got quite a few children or children with high needs, adults with high needs, have a space to come and make work as well. What's something in competition in the training around that requires your time and not everything else? This is a little bit separate to the organisation thing. So I think that's one thing. And I think it's another thing for organisations to start making some more spaces for parents, caregivers to also make work.
And was that's also a residency at home. Residencies for parents at home, like you could make a work at home,
yes.
Which I thought was really fun.
Artists in residence in motherhood, so yeah. But that's a sort of self-devised program that you can do to set yourself accountability goals.
Imagine being paid for that.
But there are organisations such as the Battersea Arts Centre, which is recently in the hundreds, and it was about bringing in artists, and it wasn't competitive, so you didn't have to be known or compete or apply. Anyone could participate, and everyone had a platform and was able to be part of the residency. So those sort of programs are happening, and I think they're really exciting, because I think for some people it's just maybe no size space, but if there could be a space where maybe they felt welcome, and Mothers Who Make does that to an extent, but it's not by an organisation, where there was a kind of an outcome-based process. Then someone like yourself could come along and participate. And I suppose that's like an ambition for the future.
It would be understanding that you're not going to access for the whole time. There's going to be periods where you're busy doing things and to still have that acceptance that that person is invested in what you're doing.
Was talking about. I think that's something we can really utilise in this space, this kind of like buzz, this energy, this split purpose that allows you to kind of get beyond the usual parameters. You've got these other influences and you're doing these other things. Most of my work comes when I'm driving my son to washing, which sounds really domestic, but that's usually where
I'm at. Another actual practical thing with that. I've always thought, even way before kids, that our long extended rehearsal days with huge long coffee break structure and things like that, I don't need that at all. You know what I need? I need to work from 9 to 3:15, half hour break in the middle, and actually burn through.
Yeah.
Rather than going out like that,
they're all day.
And just going back a little bit to what Roy was saying, for like our family, and this is speaking to privilege here, but I've got no expectation that an org or an independent or anyone is going to be giving us financial support. That we now, Frankie started daycare at the end of last year. She has those 2 days in daycare. My mum gives us support too, which absolutely not everybody has. But when the orgs come into play, in my experience, if there is like a last minute media call, or if there is a change of time, a showing or a gala or something that hasn't been in your schedule, that you haven't been able to arrange something a month ago for, that is when they step in and say, how can we support you with this? And that's for me and Mark, that is when our expectation is of anything financial.
And most of those orgs should have a margin dedicated to that.
Yeah.
I have to go down to a discussion now, so I'm happy to wrap this up.
Thank you.
Please continue. I feel like, I don't know, I have this idea of a directory and I'm sort of determined to put something together. So I might do a bit of that and see if maybe if I can email everyone and get some ideas from what we can. This is an ongoing discussion. I think we should meet again at some point and be able to talk about it and what are the practicalities. And I love this artist-centered practical idea. I think that there's something in the how we create our own community of people.
I think that's what I'm hearing. There have been creative solutions decades, generations ago, but it's now just talking about the lady that's here, what has worked.
For the good again, yes. I think things are changing. So how do we, the fact that you guys are here and you're like forward-thinking for Geeta is really important, and you know, that's, it's important that there's thought ahead of time for what people will need. So thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Susie.
Please keep chatting. I've got to go.